merely going to make provision for what is internationally accepted as information protection principles. And so we were in a position to, and have had quite a few years to assess and to consult and so on. So there's been no issues with any of that. Then just in terms of you know, how this legislation is to be implemented, I think exactly like the Banking Association, our understanding is that this is principle-based legislation. And I think the concept is not common in South Africa. We, you know, most businesses are used to implementing rule-based legislation, hence the legislation that sets out a list of obligations that they go and say it's going to cost us X amount to implement this list of obligations. This bill doesn't do that, and I don't think people are getting that. I mean, what it's doing is it's saying these are the desired objectives or outcomes. You as business, go and find the most cost-effective, efficient way to deliver these or meet these desired objectives. And that, of course, each industry is going to have to do in a sector code of conduct, which will then be approved by the regulator. So I agree with what's been said, that you cannot estimate costs at this stage because it is principle-based legislation, and a lot will depend on sector codes, and sector codes which you as industry will be having input in and then presenting to the information regulator for approval. The other thing I must say is that most of the credit bureaus have head offices abroad and they have sister companies in many other countries who have already implemented the same or similar legislation. Well, this is not new to them. It's pretty much international best business practice. So you know, there's no real issue there. The one issue which you know, has already been dealt with by quite a few speakers, is the issue of the exclusion of juristic persons. And I'm just going to speak to that very briefly because people have already made points on it. But I think my first, what we're asking for is for it to be excluded, and for three important reasons. The first reason is that the three, what I call major harmonization instruments globally, which is your EU directive, your OECD guidelines, and your APEC guidelines on privacy. All three major international harmonization instruments guiding privacy law across the globe exclude juristic persons. So we need to ask ourselves, firstly, you know, this is not the international norm, why are we including it? I mean, that's a question we need to ask. And I'm not, you know, my submission explains it in greater detail. The other point I make, of course, in my submission is the fact that one of the motivations for this bill is to meet the EU's adequacy requirements. The EU has imposed its standards on the rest of the world indirectly by saying it won't allow its data to flow to third countries that don't have same or similar legislation. But because it excludes jurisdictions, if we have to exclude juristics, we still meet the EU's adequacy requirements. So there's no issue with that. The other point that I make is, of course, we must turn to our own constitution for guidance on this issue. And our own constitution is saying in Section 8.4 that the rights set out in the Bill of Rights should only be afforded to juristic persons having regard to the nature of the right. So already our constitution is saying that we accept that the interests of natural persons and juristic persons are different when it comes to rights in the Bill of Rights. So what we're saying is that why should this legislation be treating natural persons and juristic persons in exactly the same way, which is what it's doing at the moment. Just then, in terms of our constitution as well, the point we make in our submission is that this bill is about not the broad right to privacy. You know, in Section 14 of the Constitution, the right to privacy includes the right not to have your property searched and your possessions seized and your communications infringed, etc. But this is about the specific right to personal information privacy. And the question that one needs to ask is, should this specific right, personal information privacy, privacy be afforded to jurisdictions. I can understand that the broad right to privacy be afforded to jurisdictions, but this specific right, I think there's a question mark there. Just also some other implications, I think, just from an understanding that, you know, in South Africa at the moment, one wants to ensure that you have as much information as possible about small, medium, and micro enterprises as well as the companies, from a growth perspective. You don't want to place limitations on the flows of information about businesses. Because when, for example, one business wants to transact with an SMME or a B company, that business needs comprehensive and reliable information about that other business to be available. The other point, of course, we make is that even governments, parastatal, tender boards, etc., when they want to do business with another business, they need comprehensive, reliable information to make sure that there's no BE fronting and things like that. So the business-to-business transaction environment is very different to the business-to-consumer transaction environment. But you need information about businesses in the mainstream so that businesses can be known that they are there and that they are doing the type of business they're doing. The other point we make in our submission is around electronic communication for marketing purposes. And the point we make is that whereas individuals, consumers like you and me, will go around and shop for what we want, businesses actually rely on receiving marketing information. So to place restrictions on one business sending marketing information to another business may not be desirable. I can understand that restriction when you are sending information to individuals, but when you're sending information to businesses, I think one needs to reevaluate that. The other thing is, I just wanted to make mention of the fact that I'm, for example, and this has nothing to do with the credit bureaus, but I'm, for example, busy assisting the government of Lesotho drafting their privacy legislation at the moment. And I would definitely not advise them to include heuristics, because they are a developing economy. They want as much information as possible out there about heuristic persons. Now, if this bill had to include heuristics, and if they had to meet the standards of this bill, they would also then be compelled to. And I think the Banking Association made reference to cross-border flows of information about businesses. It's going to affect business transactions. So really, I think what we're saying is that the committee should really consider excluding juristic persons from this bill, and even if the committee decides to include juristic persons, then there should be limited application. And when I say limited application, I'm talking about express exceptions under specific principles. So, for example, you know, your principles relating to consent, collection directly from a data subject, notification, etc., all of which is in my written submission. There should be specific exceptions in relation to those principles. You can understand that the principle of data quality or data security should still apply. There's no reason why a company's information should not still be kept safe and should not be still be kept, you know, in good quality and so on. So I think essentially, yeah, that is essentially our submission. We really haven't, as I said, we've been engaging in this project since 2004. And from our view, this point of view, there's been more than adequate consultation on the poll, so we don't have any issues with that. And, you know, as far as people saying that they haven't been able to assess impact, I mean, this poll does make provision for internationally accepted information protection principles. So from 2004-2005, we all knew what those were and what was going to come today. So, yeah, that's just my quick bit, because a lot of people have already said what we had, you know, intended to say, and thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm sure we want to go and prepare ourselves to go to the city. Yeah, please. Issue that is, in your submission, advocate thing, is that right? You turn page 5, bullet 2, only asked about a juristic person capable of being linked back to a specific individual or natural person should be regarded as personal data to which the bill should have partially applied. claimant there is that. And could I then just ask, in view of that, you also made a suggestion that if juristic persons, there are two options, either exclude them or include them. If you include them, then certain principles should not apply. Would you maybe, in due course, give us a submission where you put out, you say you refer to that in your submission here, but maybe in due course, specific proposed legislative amendments. Clearly, it's very easy to exclude the juristic person, but if you include them to limit the application, that might help us as well, as far as those principles are concerned. Okay, thank you. And then, sorry, you wanted to just comment from that bullet.
Yes, what we're saying is that the committee should consider wholly excluding juristic persons in the event that you think that, you know, some protection should be afforded. Then it should only be afforded to information about juristic persons where that information can be linked back to an identifiable individual or natural person. And when that information can be linked back, then there should be partial application in relation to the principle, which means exceptions under the specific principles which we have explained. But I'd be happy to drop something as a suggested amendment and pass it on.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Namas, for assisting me to finish this part of the business. Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah.